From the banks of the Colorado River in Lake Mead to the homes and businesses in Southern Nevada, welcome to Water Smarts, the podcast pumping from the heart of Las Vegas, where we engage with the experts who keep the water flowing throughout Southern Nevada. I'm Bronson Mack.
And I'm Crystal Zelke. From how we treat it, deliver it, use it, protect it, and conserve it, the Water Smarts podcast is all about water in Southern Nevada. We hope to make you a little smarter about the one thing that keeps us all connected, water.
Hey, Crystal, how are you today?
I'm doing good. You know what month it is? It's November, and it's finally starting to cool down. So that also means we're in winter watering restrictions. So this is just a quick plug and friendly reminder to our listeners that you should be watering only one day a week. And because you're watering less, you should go ahead and get out in your landscape, take a look around, make sure that everything's in good working condition, and Absolutely. Just really ensure you don't have any breaks or leaks.
That's right. Turn that water system on. Turn that irrigation system on. Take a look at every single one of those pop-up sprinklers that you have on your grass. Make sure it's not misaligned. And then start thinking about replacing that grass with some drought-tolerant plants and trees. Check those drip emitters. Sometimes they can get a little clogged up because of the calcification that can happen because we have very hard water here in Southern Nevada, so they can get a little plugged up there. So just taking a look, keeping that landscape healthy, that is a very good way to go, and very analogous to what we're going to be talking about here today, how we, as water agencies, manage the community's overall water system. Today, to talk to us about how the community keeps the water system in top shape and working to avoid any catastrophic failures, we have Doa Ross, Deputy General Manager of Engineering of the Southern Nevada Water Authority and Las Vegas Valley Water District, and Ryan Benner, Engineering Asset Manager for the Authority and District. Doa and Ryan, welcome to the Water Smarts Podcast.
Thanks so much for bringing me back. I always appreciate these podcasts.
No, I appreciate you having me here.
Doa, I want to start with you. One of the things that the Water Authority and Water District prides themselves on is how well the community's water system is maintained. As we like to point out, people know that when they turn on the tap, they are going to receive that clean water without worry. And that's not always the case for other communities. Other communities have had catastrophic failures throughout the United States, water quality issues associated with their infrastructure. We've been very fortunate here in Southern Nevada because of what we have done from an engineering and an asset management standpoint. But can you just explain to our listeners, why is asset management and maintaining the water system so important to ensuring the safety and reliability of the community's water supply?
Sure, that's an excellent question. And it's actually something that is absolutely built into the fundamental core of our organization. When you look at the size and the amount of pieces and pipes and pumps and everything that's involved in our system, and we're talking from treatment all the way to the individual meter delivery at every single person's home or every fire hydrant, it is so important for us to be able to deliver that water on time, on quality, on pressure. And I say pressure because it is important with respect to being able to fight a fire. Although we are a relatively young system in comparison to much of the United States, you look at, say, for example, Boston, you know, much older. They've been around a lot longer, right? We are a much younger system. And because of that, we have the opportunity to learn from other communities things that did not work well for them or things that may have caused early failures. So we've been able to incorporate a lot of that into our design and construction of our infrastructure. Asset management means essentially the maintenance, the general care, and looking out for the health of our infrastructure, every single piece of it, to ensure that we keep every drop of water inside of our infrastructure being delivered to our customers, and we're not losing it through unnecessary breaks in the system or unknown leaks throughout. It's so important in our drought that we keep every drop of water moving through the system, being delivered, and then ultimately returned back to the lake.
So, Doa, you mentioned a little bit about this, but when you talk about infrastructure and about our water system assets, help our listeners understand what pieces and parts we're talking about here, because there is really more than just miles and miles of pipes that make up our whole water system.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. We have two world-class water treatment facilities. even within those water treatment facilities, we have ozonation chambers. We have equipment that moves raw water into the treatment plant, pumps, pipes, chlorine systems. All those bits and pieces all have some form of a lifespan. And we want to make sure that we are staying ahead of when they're due to fail. So we are always checking on them, seeing how they're feeling, and then being able to replace or repair ahead of their failure time. And that goes from treatment, and we deliver water to our individual purveyor members through rate of flow control centers, which is like a really giant meter, if you will, and a big reservoir where we take it from the SNWA to the purveyor. And then even from, say, the water district side, which we are a purveyor in that respect, we then take it through a series of pumping stations, several pumps, valves, pipes, all the way through the system, all the way through to a point where we deliver at a meter or a fire hydrant or through a backflow prevention assembly. And then on top of that, we have other pieces within our system that are more on the communication side of things. We have fiber optic. We have a lot of telecommunication towers, things necessary to be able to communicate, monitor, measure, and move water all throughout our system.
Just working in communications, I too have been lucky to go out into the field and work with our asset management crews and see some of the technologies that we use to monitor our system. And they're pretty cool. Can you give our listeners an example of some of the types of technology that we use and how it really helps us to monitor and protect our system?
Innovation and technology has been a huge blessing to this organization. If you imagine, every single year we add miles and miles and miles of pipe to our system, thousands of valves, hydrants, meters, all of the above. We don't have the equivalent number of employees to go around out and personally view everything out there to make sure that it's healthy, safe, and not leaking. We've leveraged technology to assist in a lot of those areas. In fact, asset management, I often joke around that they are truly 100% the toy box of the organization. They got all the new gadgets and the new tools to test out, validate, and see that it works. And if it does, we'll implement it. One of the examples we utilized is a remote sensing leak detection tool called Echologix. And we actually have been able to deploy that in certain parts of our systems to correlate by listening to a sound that a leak makes through pipe, which if you think about it, if you are swimming underwater, sound travels a lot faster. You hear the slightest tap of a finger against the edge of the pool. So a leak in a pipe makes a really high squealing noise to us when we're listening to it. So Echologix has the ability to recognize what the sound of a leak is, as opposed to, say, the sound of somebody turning on their irrigation system or somebody opening up a faucet at their house. That's not a leak. So it recognizes the sounds that are irregular and starts to correlate it between another sensor and sort of hone in onto an area that says, this is the area right here that we're detecting the highest of that frequency. And what that does is it allows asset management to then turn to our operations group and say, we've identified the location with just a few feet. Here's your leak. You can dig only right here and they'll get to it. And it's been so successful that we've been able to do it in areas that we normally would have had to tear up an entire street trying to find the leak. And actually finding it before the leak comes to the surface. That's when it's really important. If we can identify that leak ahead of time, we don't have a risk of impact to the driving public or even worst case scenario of some sort of a sinkhole. We don't want that. So utilizing this kind of technology really leverages our ability to monitor our system in so many more ways. And we've got this technology permanently deployed on Las Vegas Boulevard, because you can imagine what would happen if we found a leak on Las Vegas Boulevard in the worst, most busiest time of the year, which is almost always, by the way. And so we'd rather hear and learn about that leak long before it becomes an actual problem.
Wow, Doa, you make some really good points there. It's really interesting about that technology that can help identify and detect leaks before they become catastrophic issues. Obviously, then that allows for a much quicker response and less damage, not only to our infrastructure, but roadways, sidewalks, private property, getting out there and getting on any leaks before they become major emergency issues actually even saves ratepayer dollars. But of course, main breaks still happen. They happen a lot less frequently here in the Las Vegas Valley than they do in other cities. And that is because of these asset management efforts, some of which you've just described and we'll continue to discuss here. One thing that I found kind of interesting is that when we install new equipment or new operating systems or new components to the water system, there can actually be some adverse effects adding new parts with existing parts. So, Ryan, I want to just ask you a little bit about this and have you talk a little bit about what are some of these processes or initiatives that the Water Authority and Water District are utilizing to make sure that when we do connect new components to the system, that we're not inadvertently affecting the existing infrastructure that our community is depending upon.
We've had a history of building amazing facilities, an amazing engineering department, awesome construction management, and delivering huge projects, you know, for the community. And so part of that whole process is also turning over these new facilities to operate them in the future. I mean, it's an old cliche term, like build it right the first time is what we strive to do. So we formed a startup team. The startup team basically will take how we're going to integrate the system, turning it over to operations and the maintenance crew so they feel comfortable with this new, say, a pump station and operate for the next 100 years. So a lot of planning involved to make sure, hey, all the components have been checked out. All the pumps have been lubricated. All these things, everything's been inspected. Over time, we didn't have that group to kind of oversee from the construction delivery side to bringing it over to operations. So that's kind of where we fit in there with this new group, is making sure all the safety checks. I mean, when you have a pump station, sure, it's great, all the PLC that controls the pumps and turns them on. But you also have to check, hey, what happens if something bad happens, like the power shuts off? You know, we don't want to have something happen in 5 years where we didn't test this piece of equipment in the event that it fails. So once it's constructed, we got operations manuals we're putting together for future operators that come online, testing all the safety systems, going through all the checks. Our inspection group does an amazing job. We're there to help back them up and make sure everything's tested properly. What could happen if you do not have maybe a startup crew to help out with this? We did some tests on pump stations that had been in the system for about 10 years. We were going through some emergency response, identifying our critical stations. A couple of them had backup generators. We all assumed everything was tested. The generators had been maintained over the last 10 years. We went out there, hit the power, generators did not turn on. So something happened in that cycle where it was not tested. When that emergency power was hit, the switch was not engaged. So that got all rectified. So these are things we're going to be definitely focused on going forward.
So that's very forward thinking, very proactive. You know, you've got a startup team. They're working with the planning group on the early front end of a project. You're working with the engineers on the design. Once that new component gets installed, then there's this testing that occurs so that you can make sure that it is functioning properly. And just like you said, with those generators, boy, had that been not under a controlled situation and an actual power outage that would have occurred, we would have seen impacts to our ability to be able to pump water up to the customers and distribute water, at least in some respects, throughout the valley. So that proactive work you did to test that identified that there was an issue so that it could be rectified under a controlled situation. Is that about correct?
That's exactly what we're after, Bronson. Trying to avoid those issues years down the road. That's the cornerstone of reliability-centered maintenance right there.
And that's really cool because, look, we all use water and we all take not just the water itself for granted, but we take the actual infrastructure, the conveyance, everything that goes into moving that water from point A to point B being your home. We take that middle process completely for granted. you know, you really do forget all of the infrastructure that's there. And a lot of that's sort of by design, right? Because a lot of our infrastructure is underground or kind of behind block walls so that it's safe and so it's secure. So it's a little bit of out of sight, out of mind for the community, but not for you and not for your team. Your team is taking on the proactive testing and monitoring and management, right, of these assets. That's why we call this asset management. But let me ask you this, Ryan, since so much of this infrastructure, right, like 7,000 miles of pipeline in the Las Vegas Valley Water District service territory, 7,000 miles of pipeline that nobody can see. Why? Because it's all located and buried underground in the streets. You know, does that create challenges for you? I mean, how do you monitor such an expansive system where most of it is located underground and spread over, what are we, 300 square miles here in this service area? How do you do that?
One step at a time. We have these special X-ray glasses we can see below. I'm just kidding. No.
So, did you get those? You didn't order those from the back of the comic book.
They were. No, so we basically, we look at the system, and Doa touched on it. We have a very relatively young system, right? So there's a lot of the valley that really we do not have to worry about. It was put in fairly high levels of inspection, construction standards. So,
and put in at current standards, right?
Current standards, not
the old standards, what the current standards are.
Yeah.
Everybody learns from the past. Those standards get revised. They get updated. So young system under current standards.
That's right. So, you know, we tend to focus that area on, you know, the aging infrastructure. You know, we're looking at corrosive conditions that we know about. We look at failure rates, try to hone in on problem areas, and especially, you know, taking information from the field crews. That's actually some of our best intel is the guys out in the field and the gals. Hey, there's a leak here. We're seeing something. So that's how we tend to prioritize what we're working on first. Doa touched on the acoustic leak detection equipment we've been using for almost 2 decades. With this acoustic leak detection equipment, we can actually figure out the condition of the pipeline. We were also using some artificial intelligence to help identify high risk potential failures on the pipeline. We're taking that information and focusing our crews on those areas to do assessments and identifying projects to get replaced. So we can actually save a lot of money and replace what we need to. You know, some of the other technology we use to inspect our pipelines, we use these remote operated pipe crawlers that have high definition cameras and lights and big tires. It's like a really industrial remote control vehicle. And we can drive that into the pipelines where, you know, sometimes they're partially full of water. It's just not safe to put a person inside the pipeline. So we're able to drive this vehicle inside the pipe. I think the furthest we've gotten in so far is about 1,000 feet, and it can go around and inspect the joints, can inspect if a valve's open or closed. So it's really a handy tool. We can get in there, see what the condition of the pipe is, and identify any areas that we need to replace. So we have the pipe crawler. We also have a push camera that's used for small diameter pipelines. Same concept with the camera, lights. That's been a really handy tool for small diameter stuff. And the last remote operated vehicle, it's a little submarine. It's battery powered. It's LED lights. It's got ultra high definition. It's got a remote control, basically, just like a PS3. We use that to push it into reservoirs. And it also has a little grabber arm so we can grab stuff that we want to sample in the reservoir. We use that a lot to pre-inspect reservoirs before we bring in our contract divers to do a full inspection of these reservoirs and cleaning.
I'm glad you brought up reservoirs because we have more than 70 reservoir basins and tanks located throughout the Las Vegas Valley Water District service territory. The Southern Nevada Water Authority has a series of reservoirs throughout their service lines in order to deliver water out to the various areas of the valley. And that is just one of the things when people think about a reservoir, sometimes they just think that it's like an open body of water, right? But really, our reservoirs are not like that at all. They are enclosed concrete structures because that's drinking water that's in there. So it's really important that any water that's in that reservoir be protected, and anything that goes into that reservoir, like a submarine, also needs to be of the appropriate standard too, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you wouldn't even know they're there. Most people have no idea that the reservoirs are just all around town.
You know, I think it's always cool to hear stories like this because I really do think the community takes all of this for granted. When I say community, I say me included. In other cities, other utilities, other communities, they don't necessarily have the means to do this. And this kind of preventative care is an investment, but it's also a savings that results from it, right? So going back to technology, we're using artificial intelligence, remotely operated vehicles, acoustic listening devices, all of these technologies that help make a difference in keeping our system operating. We pay for all of this, our asset management program, through SNWA charges and other charges on our water bills. Doa, I suspect we would all be paying a lot more if we didn't invest in this type of preventative care. So kind of break it down why this is so beneficial to us.
Well, yeah, a lot like what Ryan was talking about with respect to being able to identify the weak points in the system, areas where we might potentially have a main break, get that repaired or replaced before it becomes a main break. So if you look at a typical spot, like when we have a weak spot, usually it might be maybe on a large diameter pipe at a joint. A lot of the large diameter pipes are welded together at the joints. And over time, if a corrosion happens, that can weaken that weld. And so obviously we run water through a good pressure point all the way through the system and it could eventually pull it apart. It won't be a catastrophic failure, but it would be enough of a failure that it would start soaking up the ground that it's in and eventually weaken the pavement. Water will travel the path of least resistance. So it's going to follow that pipeline, maybe find its way to another trench area. And before you know it, you've kind of created a bit of a muddy mess below ground, which starts to tear apart the asphalt and it becomes a bigger issue. So if we can identify these things ahead of time, now we're talking about an area of replacement, let's say 20 foot by 20 foot. We excavate a nice big humongous hole. We go in, we make the necessary repairs. We can actually weld on reinforcements to our pipe, which is really great. Our operations crews can make those repairs in a controlled environment with controlled traffic control. I'm sorry, everybody has to see a few more orange cones, but it's for a short period of time. And it's in our control. And when we make that happen, it's so much less impactful to the driving public. It's less expensive. If we don't make those types of repairs, you could be taking out, you know, let's just say a St. Rose Parkway, for example. We don't want to do that, right? That kind of a catastrophic failure is long, unplanned. We have to pull together materials. We didn't know about this. All of a sudden, we're shutting down half a road, if not more. It's a major disruption, and the cost goes up exponentially. So by doing this kind of effort, we keep our costs controlled, planned, and in our control. We know when we're going to be doing these disruptions. And we have a great working relationship with the city of Las Vegas and Clark County and NDOT and even Henderson and North Las Vegas. When we go in and we say we have a planned, scheduled repair because we've identified this using our asset management technologies, and they work with us. Sometimes we partner with them in their roadway projects to only rep up that road once, and we'll go ahead and replace this section of pipe that we've identified to be less than desirable, needing to be replaced very soon. And we'll get that all with the same construction project work at the same time. That's what we did with Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah, it's, you know, as I think about asset management and what you're describing here, every single one of us does asset management in some form within our personal lives. Just think of the brakes on your car, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So like your brake pads are going to wear over time. Preventative maintenance would be replacing those brake pads before they get to a point where they begin to damage the rotors on your axles of your vehicle or fail altogether. And talk about catastrophic failure, losing your brakes, right? So from that standpoint, this is what we're doing to the entire water system is we're constantly evaluating the system itself, the brake pads, if you will, updating, replacing those brake pads, fixing what needs to be fixed before it becomes a serious issue. So we don't run our water system to fail. We run our water system to stay reliable and make the investment in the preventative care so that we can ensure that we are continuing to meet our community's water needs without having large-scale service interruptions or major issues for the general public. So
absolutely.
I guess with that, Doa and Ryan, I want to ask you if you have any projects that you would like to talk a little about, maybe highlight, brag, if you will. What's your favorite story to tell about a disaster that was diverted or a new, very effective, some might call cool, technology that we're employing to protect our infrastructure and also our supply?
Yeah, I'd say one of my favorites was we have an older pipeline that crosses under the US 95, and it actually does run from one side of the freeway to the other and then continues even through, this is old planning, it actually runs through the backyards of a lot of homes. Now, we knew that there was some sort of a leak happening there, but we didn't know exactly where, and how exactly do we tear up US 95 to find it? That's not happening. Brian's team actually, with a combination of using the acoustics to generally get an idea of where within this 400 or 500 foot stretch of pipe to be able to see approximately where within that area was the leak. And then once they had an idea of where that was under a controlled situation, again, on the side off of the freeway, being able to create a small area of excavation and then insert the remote controlled vehicle, which videotapes exactly and measures distance. So they could drive along and lo and behold, there's a few little bubbles and they can see exactly where it is. What's amazing is to see what the acoustic estimated it to be at, and it was within half a foot, I think it was, accuracy of exactly where the video camera had eyes on the leak. So once we knew that, then the next step is for maintenance engineering to come back together and say, okay, let's plan a way to rehabilitate this pipe with the least amount of destruction. And they utilized the technology that came out of Germany to be able to line that pipe. None of the residents were ever disrupted. The freeway never lost a single vehicle of travel. It was a wonderful success story. And after that, we were able to deploy it in another area under a freeway. So we have pipes that cross under major highways and freeways all over the valley. So we utilize this technology to be able to find where that leak is and be able to make the correct repair without disrupting everything else around it.
And in this example, that repair was installing a liner inside the existing pipe. I guess that's kind of putting a pipe inside a pipe.
Yes.
And that seals it up and it's not leaking anymore.
That's right. Yep. Sealed it right back up. The initial pipe itself was still in good shape. It was really just the joint that was the problem. But go ahead and line the whole thing. And basically what you do is you take a pipe that might already be 50 years old. By giving it a lining, you just gave it another 50 years of life.
Incredible. What an investment. What about you, Ryan? What's the one that you tell at the holiday parties?
You know, that's a good one Doe was talking about there. And a lot of times I like to talk about getting inside the pipes. That kind of blows people's minds when you tell them how gigantic some of the pipes are. And then also suiting up and getting inside them. And, you know, there was
Tell our audience, how gigantic are these pipes,
I
Ryan?
I mean, the biggest one, you know, I've been in is 12-foot diameter.
12 feet? That's higher than an NBA basketball.
That's big. It was huge. I mean, it was a tunnel, basically.
You could drive an F-150 through there, huh?
Yep. And one time, we actually brought Doa with us inside a pipe.
I sure did. Yeah, I suited up in a Tyvek suit and rubber booties. Got hosed down with some chlorine and was able to kind of go walking through it.
Why do you do that? Why do you have to put on a special suit?
It's disinfection.
And
That's potable water. We can't be dragging anything into there. We have to be clean.
We go and clean.
Up.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, getting inside the pipes, that's always a great deal.
So, Doa, obviously super impressive that we have people that are highly skilled utilizing technology in order to monitor our water system 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including those holidays, no days off when it comes to delivering water, making sure that it is flowing to the taps. You know, and our listeners may have even seen some of our crews working in their neighborhoods. And that brings a question that we received from one of our listeners. So, Doa, I'm going to shoot this question to you. Jason emailed us and he said that the Las Vegas Valley Water District replaced a pipe or a valve in the street that is near his home. It looks like this was about 2 or 3 months ago. He says that obviously we were in and out pretty quickly and there wasn't much interruption to his service, but now there's this temporary or this patch that's in the roadway. Jason wants to know whether or not that patch will be fixed so that it'll look like the rest of the road, or do they just have to deal with the fact that now they've got kind of this patch in their road for good?
No, and I appreciate that question. We actually get this quite often. And so really what happens is, obviously, the very first step, as soon as we know that there's anything that needs to be done, we always have to call before you dig. This is the law. So you'll start to see paint marks on the ground. That tells you that other utilities have identified where they are. And then we have to carefully excavate around those utilities to not cause breakages to other lines. Once we've made that repair, immediately what we have to put back underneath that temporary asphalt is type 2 material, which is the strength back into the compaction of the trench. Then that gravelly, crumbly, coffee bean looking stuff that's on top is what we call cold patch. And that's a temporary asphalt material. Once we've placed that cold patch, then the contractor, we have several on-called contractors that are working all the different replacements of pavement throughout the valley. In our construction management group, they try and put those together in a geographic area. So you might have an area where you had a repair done just last week and all of a sudden someone's rolling out with brand new pavement, or you might have an area that they did that patch and it's going to be probably 2 months later. It depends on where the contractor is currently set up and where they're going next. And we try and get as many as we possibly can in one area so that they only have to mobilize once. It makes more sense because the materials they bring out have to come from the mix plant and they have to place it down. So it is sometimes it can seem really fast and sometimes it can seem a little long, but at all times, no matter what, anytime you have questions, you can always reach us through our lvvwd.com website. We have a contact us form. It goes straight into the folks that will answer the questions for you. Additionally, we would love if ever you see anything that appears to be a leak, maybe there's water that is either bubbling up through the pavement or running from a meter box down the road. It doesn't matter. If you see water running where it shouldn't be running, please give us a call. It's the eyes and ears of our community that's going to help us in all measures of conservation, not only to keep the water in our pipe, but also to report any sort of breaks or leaks. And our customer care number, which is available on our website, is answered 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So we will automatically send somebody out, put eyes on whatever it is that has been reported to verify whether it's a minor or a major leak or break, and we'll address it immediately.
Hey, Doa, one follow-up to that. If it's a minor break, do you send a flood of crews to go fix the minor break right away? Or how does that happen? What's the difference between a minor and major break in response?
That's actually a great question. So the minor break would be if you, for example, had a leak coming from a lateral that's going from the main to the home, for example, and maybe it's coming up, you'll see it bubbling up through the water meter coming out, spilling from the meter box. If the pavement has not been compromised at all, that to us is a minor leak. We're supposed to give all the utilities 48 hours to mark their utilities before we dig. Call before you dig requirements. But if the pavement is in any way compromised, such as if water is bubbling up through the asphalt, that tells us there's a bigger break than we can see, and we always want to address that first. So what we do is we have what we call first responders. They will go out and put eyes physically on what the person called in to report, and they will go out and assess it. And if it looks like it's a major, they call in, call before you dig under emergency circumstances. And then in those cases, the utilities have 2 hours to respond so that we can immediately start digging.
Great information there. And on top of that, with those minor leaks, when we do call before you dig, we're also able to do notification to customers that will be affected by that water service interruption under an emergency situation. Sometimes there's not prior notification to those customers
because
we are just responding to an immediate emergency, getting that shut down, getting that repaired.
Absolutely correct.
Outstanding conversation. Very interesting. Multifaceted approach to helping ensure that our water system remains reliable, benefiting from the fact that we have a young water system, but also not neglecting those more mature areas of town where the water system may need a little bit more attention, placing our investments there, helping to ensure that those areas of town that have been around for 30, 40 years, that their water system is just as reliable as the areas of town that are brand new. Doa and Ryan, thank you so much for joining us here today on the Water Smarts podcast and actually making asset management interesting. Great to have you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you having us.
Well, Crystal, learn a little bit about asset management, maintaining water infrastructure. You know, I got to say, I might have taken a little more time speaking on that one than we normally do. And I do apologize to you. I just love engineering, and especially our water engineering that we do here.
It's okay, Bronson. You were totally into that conversation. So I was going to let you just take the lead. No, but I mean, for me, I always just learn so much because, you know, this isn't my thing. I am not an engineer, but I've been out on plenty of, you know, when I did video production for the organization, I'd go on a lot of the video shoots and watch these men and women in action doing the asset management, corrosion control, all sorts of things. And you see some really awesome stuff out there. So it's cool for me to hear it and learn more about it.
And we didn't even talk about corrosion control. Like, that's a whole other interesting environment of engineering that is done to help ensure that our water system doesn't corrode and leak. I mean, there's just so many facets to what goes on in managing the water system. You know, and if any of our listeners want to actually get a view of what that water system looks like, what it takes to move water throughout this valley, please visit the Springs Preserve. Make sure you stop by the Waterworks exhibit. Not only can you learn a little bit about how our system is networked together in order to deliver water to your property, your school, your business, but you can actually see a functioning and working pumping station. And we have those pumping stations all over the valley, pumping that water uphill to reservoirs that then gravity feed down to customers. I'm sorry, I'm still geeking out over water infrastructure. Give me pipes, give me pumps, give me valves. It really does take a lot to move water to your property, and it takes a lot to ensure that that system remains reliable. It's your investment as a listener, as a customer, that you are making in this water system. You do it every time you pay that water bill. So use that water responsibly at your home. Follow the seasonal watering restrictions. Reduce your outdoor water use, especially look for leaks. Make sure that you're fixing those leaks on your property, just like we're looking for and fixing leaks within the water system as well.
Yeah. And Bronson, I just wanted to add on, Doa was explaining the difference between a minor and a major leak. And we have a visual of that on lvvwd.com, our website, where we explain to customers the difference between a small leak and a major leak and what should be reported and how you should report it. So you can see examples there where you'll clearly be able to see the difference if you ever do come across that.
Yeah, you know a major leak when you see one, that's for sure. And actually, the Las Vegas Valley Water District has one of the lowest leak rates within its water distribution system because of the asset management that happens. In fact, by the American Water Works standards, our water system is considered world class. We have so many fewer instances of main breaks and failures because of the preventative maintenance that gets done up front. That's it for this episode here on the Water Smarts Podcast. We want you to subscribe. Make sure you listen next time. We got more good water information to share with you. If you have a question, just like Jason did, feel free to send it our way. You can send your questions to watersmarts@snwa.com or just visit our website, snwa.com. We have contact forms there. Feel free to hit us with any questions you have. We'll make sure to get a response back to you. You might even hear your question, just like Jason's, on our next podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope you join us here next time on Water Smarts.